Hi, I'm Claire Breeze, and welcome back to the next episode of our series on successful women in the real estate sector. Next up, we're speaking with Amanda Lim, partner and head of flexible office solutions at Knight Frank. Amanda moved to London from Singapore in 2016 to start up and lead Knight Frank's flexible office space team, and has since spearheaded its dominance in the market, achieving a fivefold revenue growth. She has expanded the team from 1 to 7 people and launched the team's dedicated digital platform, resulting in a whopping 425% increase in deals in the first 6 months following its launch. Alongside leading the gender diversity board for Knight Frank, she's also been shortlisted for Property Week's Rising Star Award and chosen as one of EG's future female leaders. Amanda's drive, passion, and success has made her an outstanding role model within the industry and amongst her peers.
Amanda, thank you so much for joining us today, particularly as on maternity leave. So, huge congratulations for that. And thank you for sparing the time. So diving right into the first question. So what got you into the real estate sector in the first place?
I was a flight attendant and I was looking to find a job that was on the ground. And I just thought, what have I learned in terms of being a flight attendant for 4 years? What are my skills? And I realized I like dealing with people, you know, I like the customer service facing front of it, and interviewed for quite a few jobs. And I sort of just got a job with a service office provider doing sales for them. So I thought, give it a go. So that kind of kick-started it. And eventually I landed where I am today. But yeah, didn't expect it. I would end up in real estate. It's really not exciting. It's so boring when people go like, "Why have you chosen real estate as a career?" I didn't really choose it. Chose me.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great story though, because I think it shows that you don't have to have a traditional route and to have it figured out that you want to end up in a particular place. And as you say, you picked it for reasons that you thought it would suit you rather than, yeah, it was kind of pre.
Exactly. Yeah, I picked it based on the skill sets that I then realized I was, you know, better at than others through a career that was completely different. It's definitely different. It's compared to all my other colleagues that I've met and known of, you know, all of them went down the real estate route, like you mentioned, and did a degree in real estate and a master's, and I didn't. So here I am.
So you have a role on the gender balance board at Knight Frank. So in relation to that work, and also on the theme of breaking the bias that we're talking about in this series, do you think bias still exists quite a lot in the real estate sector and is holding women back, or are you seeing change in the right direction?
I think there's definitely change in the right direction. But the change that I believe everyone's hoping we would get to is such a big change that is not going to happen overnight. And that's what I say to lots of people who come in, you know, really excited to make a difference in the real estate sector, actually in any sector, let's be honest here. You can't come in and expect things to happen really quickly, because whatever status quo we're currently at, we're here because of years and years of unfortunate bias or unfortunate events that have led to men being the dominant. That's also down to culture. That's down to lots of other things that you can't change overnight. So that's one thing I would say. There is change, but little steps at a time that perhaps people can't really see, or they sort of look at it and go, "Oh no, really, it's pretty much the same." I don't think it is. I think people are trying. People are making little changes. Is it enough? No. But it'll take time. It might take another 5 to 10 years.
So Amanda, you play a key role on the gender balance board at Knight Frank. Can you tell us a bit about that, what your work on the board entails and what kind of projects the board is looking at?
So my role as a co-chair on the gender balance board has been really interesting. We look at all the different ways in including gender into the business and into the industry, but gender, not just male, female. I think that's what's really key here. We're looking at including everyone as who they want to be. And we're looking at that via the language in our policies. We're looking at that via the messaging in all marketing that we put out there. And the key thing is just to make sure that people who work for business feel like they are part of this one big family that we're creating, and no one feels alone. I think that's the whole agenda that comes with it, that no one feels like I can't be who I am, or no, I can't be my true self because I would never get accepted. That said, I know we're far off what we want to achieve, very, very far off what we want to achieve. But all I can say is everyone in the business and everyone in the industry, actually, I believe, are trying to make sure that, you know, not just gender balance, but balance as a whole across the board, whether it's disability or gender or race, whatever it might be, that becomes more of a non-issue moving forward, even if it might take 10 years.
And I also wanted to touch on, you were selected as one of EG's future female leaders. I heard you speak brilliantly at the presentation event about how damaging the sort of man-up culture in the workplace can be, obviously, particularly in our industry, which is traditionally male-dominated. I found your speech incredibly moving, and I know everyone in the room was incredibly, incredibly moved. You talked about leading through honesty and authenticity, which I think are really important, particularly for women in our sector. Mm. Could you talk a little bit about why you chose that topic and, you know, just talk about that a little bit.
I think a lot of it was in my presentation as to why it was important or close to my heart, purely because I think I always found an issue with myself being emotional. And I've always thought I'm the problem. You know, if I wanted to progress in the real estate sector, I couldn't be emotional. Like, you know, that's not the person that people want as their leader. So I struggled through that for quite a few years, and it was really difficult for me to sort of switch on and switch off that part of me. Naturally, you can't do that. You know, all of us have emotions, good or bad. And then after a while, I started realizing, actually, an emotion is just emotion. It shouldn't be a good or bad emotion. You know, male, female, we all have emotions. It's just how well we are at concealing it, perhaps, in the workplace. And, you know, I think it's safe to say everyone does that when they're at work. Who you are at work, you know, you're a different person at home. You might whinge about, I don't know, takeout choice when it comes in because you're not feeling it or you're in a bad mood. But at work, you know, you can't be that person completely. And what I then realized was, okay, you can't be exactly the same person. You need to be professional. But we should allow some sort of vulnerability, because that is someone being courageous if they share that side of themselves. And that is allowing them to be authentic as well. So I think to break the bias, what I then realized was leaders have to allow themselves or their staff to show their true authentic self, and by being vulnerable or allowing them to show that side of themselves. And I found that really, really tough because, like we said, most of the leaders or a lot of the industry are traditionally male dominated, which then means if you go back in time, you know, most of the top shelf in every organization are men. And the man up culture is a lot stronger up there than it is when you look at the graduate level, because they've been brought up differently. And it was important for me to just say, it's okay. Like, you know, they don't have to always be the strong, calm, non-emotional type of people to lead, because the new generation coming into work not necessarily will look at that as strength. They might look at that as someone that they can't, I guess, look up to, because it's not who they are as people. So I think as part of my role co-chairing the Gender Balance Board and little things that I've realised through my career, I've then realised we can't keep going on like that, because we can keep trying to hire inclusively, you know, make sure we get a good diverse group of people coming into the business. That's great. But if the top half of the business still carries on as they were, it's just not going to be reflective of what we're trying to achieve as a whole. And there will always be that imbalance, because people coming in don't feel like they can themselves, because they look up and they go, oh, well, you know, everyone's got stiff upper lip, so that's who I've got to be. And the new generation just aren't going to deal with that. They're just not going to be okay, you know, because they're so now used to being able to express themselves however they want. And I'm with that, as long as there's a level of professionality that comes with it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think you touched on in your speech, is sort of damaging both ways, because if men feel like they can't, you know, they have to present in a traditionally sort of masculine way and not be emotional, that's damaging for them. And then it's also damaging for women who feel they have to present in a traditionally feminine way, but in order to get ahead, they have to not show their emotions. So yeah, I totally agree. And particularly on the new generation coming through, I really
And bear in mind, this is quite a gender neutral issue that I think both genders struggle with. Men obviously struggle a lot with not being able to express themselves, especially if they're upset. You know, that's led to suicide rates in across the board. Women have then the issue of not being able to express themselves, because they might come off as, I don't know, weak or time of the month, or, you know, there are so many stigmas that go with both genders being able to express themselves properly and having to hide what they're really thinking or how they really feel in the workplace.
Yeah, exactly. So my final question is a bit of a sneaky one, given I'm only 6 months qualified, so kind of directly relevant to my career stage. But what would you say is the most important piece of advice you would give to a woman thinking of starting a career in the real estate sector?
Take every opportunity. Even if you're not 100% you can do it, take it. I think it's quite safe for me to say that a lot of people, especially women, always wait to be 110% sure that they can achieve that task before they say yes. And unfortunately, if you don't take opportunities given to you at that time, even if you're not 100% sure, you never know. You just never know what will happen. You know, I took the role of coming to the UK and setting up a business in a city I've never lived in before. Was I sure that I could do it? 100% not. I thought if they were going to give me a go, I'm going to give it a go. And so, you know, there's no harm, you know. Everything that comes in, give it a shot. If it doesn't work, that's okay. There's always a different route. I think that's also being able to accept that failing is okay. That's my advice. Take every opportunity that lands in your lap. Don't overthink it. Just give it a shot. If it's something that you are interested in doing, go. Because if you don't, that door might not happen for another 3-4 years. and, you know, the what if situations that may or may not come, deal with it then. Don't worry about it before it happens.
Thank you so much. I will definitely, I'm definitely an overthinker, so I agree.
I think we all are. Yeah.
Yeah, I think taking those opportunities with both hands when presented is, yeah, the best thing you can do. So, yeah, thank you so much for your time, Amanda. I really appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.